Well, I too have been working on a sequence of poems. It's 130 pages long. I'm going to read it to you tonight. No. It is actually a new and selected, and it's a little, I'm going to read you the author's preface to begin with. It's entitled The Nerve of It. Some of the poems in The Nerve of It are new, and some are taken from four previously published volumes. Collections of new and selected poems are often arranged chronologically. This one is not. Chronology is predictable, and it is arbitrary. As with a painting, one can't just take out a patch of blue from the left-hand corner of the canvas and expect the painting to remain the same. As soon as you start taking things away, the whole thing changes. So instead of collecting some of my early poems on pages 8 through 31, my middle poems on pages 34 to 72, and so on, I have composed a new book. Muriel Rukeyser writes that poems in books proceed either by linkage or collision. Here, I have used both. I have linked poems from different books and periods, and I have also arranged a series of collisions among some of them. As if looking at sculpture, I have circled this work, studied it from different angles and perspectives, sometimes seeing that it made an harmonious whole and sometimes a jagged, contentious whole. I am forced to admit, and here is my perfect reader and yours as well, if the poems were organized chronologically, by flipping back and forth among the pages, reading and rereading, writing in the margins, comparing and contrasting, readers might discover much of what I wrote above for themselves. However, I have decided that since you are my guests, I should save you this work and do it myself. You may be thinking, well, the nerve of it. But I thought this would be less boring for both of us. You're welcome. Out of Metropolis. We're headed for empty-headedness, the featureless amnesias of Idaho, Nebraska, Nevada, states rich only in vowel sounds and alliteration. We're taking the train so we can see into the heart of America framed in the window's cool oblongs of light. We want cottages. We want farmhouses with peaked roofs leashed by wood smoke to the clouds. We want the golden broth of sunlight ladled over ponds and meadows. We've never even seen a meadow. Now we want to wade into one, up to our chins in the grassy welter, the long reach of our vision, grabbing up great handfuls and armloads of scenery at the clouds' white sail, at the bargain basement giveaway of clods and scat and cow pies. We want to feel half of America to the left of us, half to the right, ourselves like a spine dividing that book in two, ourselves holding the whole great story together. But then suddenly, the train pulls into the station and the scenery begins to creep forward. The ramshackle, oh no, this is a nightmare from a dream. Oh my God. Okay. Okay. No. I'm just going to move right along. You don't know the end of it. Buy the book. Read the ending. God, this is like, do you have these dreams where you're, yeah, I know. Okay, let me just make sure I've got this one. Oh, no, I don't. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I'm so sorry. This is embarrassing. Okay, let me just read the ones I've got. Okay. Okay, I have almost nothing here, but that's okay. I'm just going to read what I've got. I have to tell you, I had the whole manuscript to read from, and then I had to take it apart, and I clearly didn't do a good job with that. Okay. I'm going to just read a few poems to end with. Okay. Oh, my God. In fact, I'm only going to read one poem. This is fine. This is a new poem. It's called The Angels of the Resurrection. I wrote it while I was in Italy, so you can imagine. We went and saw, a group of us, every single, We went and saw every single not painting, but what is it when you paint on the plaster? Yes, thank you. By Piero della Francesca. It was a sublime experience, and I was completely infected by it. So I have updated the resurrection. The angels of the resurrection. Even when it's become a piece of furniture, upholstered in the stiff brocade of rigor mortis, a corpse blistered by acids into a tapestry, poked full of holes by bullets and blurred by miles of road, they find it. They find the body because there is nowhere it can go. There is no death, deep or dark enough, no unlit alley bleak enough to hide it. Even hidden, it brings the resurrection to it. Even lying low in the slot of the unmarked grave, its carnality works like a magnet. They will find it, haul it, leaking and weeping, up from the black suction of the fathomless lake. The lakes, the woods, the gardens are filled with its unmentionable perfumes. The body cannot hide, and there's no room for modesty, no provision for rest. They are dogs and wolves. They will find it. They will dig it up. Thank you. So embarrassed by this. I don't even know where these poems are now that I've been working on. Okay, I'm so sorry. I won't read that one. I'll read. Hang on. I'm so sorry. Wow, this is strange. Okay. I don't think I've ever done this badly. All right, let me read you just a couple more. Okay, maybe it isn't in here. Okay. Homage to Sharon Stone. This is based on a true story. It's early morning. This is the before. The world hanging around in its bathrobe. Blousy, frumpy, doing nothing. My neighbors hitching themselves to the roles of the unhappily married trundle their three mastiffs down the street. And I am writing this book of poems. My name is Lynn Emanuel. I am wearing a bathrobe and curlers. From my lips, a Marlboro drips ash on the text. It is the 3rd of September, 20, whatever. And as I am writing this in my trifocals and slippers, across the street, Sharon Stone, her head swollen with curlers, her mouth, red and narrow as a dancing slipper, is rushed into a black limo. And because these limos snake up and down my street, this book will be full of sleek cars nosing through the shadowy ocean of these words. Every morning, Sharon Stone, her head in a helmet of hairdo, wearing a visor of sunglasses, is engulfed by a limo the size of a Pullman. And whole fleets of these wind their way up and down the street day after day, giving to the street Liberty Avenue in Pittsburgh, PA, and to the book I am writing, an aspect that is both glamorous and funereal. My name is Lynn Emanuel. And in this book, I play the part of someone writing a book. And I take the role seriously, just as Sharon Stone takes seriously the role of the diva. I watch the dark cars disappear her, and in my poem, another Lexus erupts like a big animal at the cool trough of a shady curb. So, when you see this black car, do not think it is a symbol for something. It is just Sharon Stone driving past the house of Lynn Emanuel, who is at the time trying to write a book of poems. Or you could think of the black car as Lynn Emanuel, because really, as an author, I've always wanted to be the car, even though most of the time I have to be the I, the woman hanging wash. I am a woman one minute, then I am a man. I am a carnival of Lynn Emanuels, Lynn in a red dress, Lynn sulking behind the big nose of my erection. Then I am a train pulling into the station, when what I would really love to be is Gertrude Stein spying on Sharon Stone at 6 a.m. But enough about that, back to the interior decorating. On the page, my town looks bald and dim. So I turn up the amps on the radioactive glances of bad boys. In a kitchen, I stack pans sleek with grease, and on a counter there is a roast beef, red as a face in a tantrum. And amid all this bland strangeness is Sharon Stone, who, like an engraved invitation, is asking me, "Won't you too play a role?" I don't choose the black limo, rolling down the street with the golden stare of my limo headlights, bringing with me the sun, the moon, and Sharon Stone. It's nearly dawn. The sun is a fox chewing her foot from the trap. Every bite is a wound, and every wound is a red window, a red door, a red road. My name is Lynn Emanuel. I am the writer trying to unwrite the world that is all around her. And I think I will end there. Thank you.
How about another round of applause for our great poets tonight?